Across Tamworth and the Northwest Slopes and Plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
And I've got the fabulous Tony Ambrogetti with me this morning. Hello, Tony. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Peter. I'm well, thank you.
How good were those Tamworth Warriors on the weekend?
It was an incredible game.
I know you're a Newcastle supporter, but gee,
that's okay.
They were impressive, weren't they?
Yeah, well, they absolutely deserved to win because the Knights played like beep and... I'm a Knights supporter, but I'm also a realist, and if you play like crap, you don't deserve to win.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. Let's have a quick look, actually, before we go to the news, at the entire round. Now, way back when, the Rabbitohs beat the Eels 38-0, and the Rabbitohs backed up their performance against Manly last week with another devastating win. We didn't see that one coming, did we?
No, and honestly, keeping the Parramatta Eels scoreless is like almost the most impressive part of the win, because it's normally the Eels who have impenetrable defence.
That's exactly right. And that was also impressive, the fact that they put 38 points on the Eels.
Yes.
Which hasn't happened, I mean, over the last 10 years it's happened numerous times. But yes. This year, it was all different.
Well, my favourite satirical website, the Batuta Advocate, saying Parramatta Eels fans, very sad Parramatta has returned to being playing like Parramatta players.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, exactly, very true. Right.
They're going to have to turn it around. There's only a few rounds to go before the semi-finals. Parramatta are locked into the semis. That's one thing they can say, but, gee, they're going to have to lift. The Titans come back to beat the Dragons 14-10. I don't think we saw that coming either, but I think we're going to have to
start taking
the Titans seriously, because they've been excellent. Of course, their coach was re-signed for 3 years the other day. And the Dragons, Dragons consigned again to another season of discontent. Yep. The Roosters 58-12 over the Broncos. Well, everyone saw that one coming. And, of course, the Warriors too good for the Knights there Saturday afternoon. The Sharks way too good for the Cowboys. Now, they were missing all of their halves.
They had Sean a new
Johnson,
combination
Chad
in there,
Townsend,
didn't they?
And Matt Moylan. All three of those out injured. And you would have thought they would have taken on. Actually, maybe it's time for the Sharks to start looking to the future. I don't know. But that just about wraps up a semi-final spot for them, given the way the other results went. So they will be in that lower half of the semis, I think. And, the key game this weekend, of course, is the Sharks playing the hapless Newcastle Knights from last week. And, you know, the Knights are going to have to, like the Eels, they're just going to have to lift. Panthers, of course, the imperious Panthers just kept on rolling. 30-6 over the West Tigers.
A little bit of biffo in that game.
A little bit of biffo, wasn't there? There was a little bit of a kick that went on there from Moses Mbai there in a tackle, whether he was just trying to kick out of the tackle or... But the fact was he was on the ground and he kicked out at one of the defenders, and that's a no-no. And they just used that as motivation, the Panthers, and went on to absolutely roll the West Tigers. The West Tigers, they're not going to make the semis, and I think the coach there, Coach Madge, has said he's going to try a few new players. He said he's got a great bunch of kids underneath.
Yeah, I think they need an overhaul, because they really just haven't been putting anything down on the pitch at all in the last couple of months.
No, it's just it's another disappointing season for the... For the Tigers, I think they've... Did someone say to me they've come ninth about 4 years in a row now?
Oh, yeah. I was listening last night to some wrap-up and they were saying, it's just been numerous seasons where they haven't made the finals and it's...
But they've been one-off for...
They've come
ninth 4 or 5 years in a row. It just must be...
It's probably a good start
to
the
supporter.
Season and then they like slide.
They do, yeah. The Storm, way too good for the Sea Eagles yesterday. Manly, I thought, tried hard in that game. I watched that game. I thought they really tried hard, but they were
the first
just
half
outclassed.
Was a lot closer, and then the Storm just came back and that excellent try down the left-hand wing there.
Josh
between
Adokar.
Josh Adokar, Pappenhausen, and the other one.
Justin Olam,
who got a hat-trick again against Manly, and he would that try between the three of them was just phenomenal.
It was, wasn't it?
An intense amount of skill and speed and just
everything. Bullet-like pass from Pappenhausen, who set up three or four tries there. Like, he's a bit of a he's known for his running. And how quick he is, but geez, good with his hands as well. That was a bullet pass out to Adokar for that try, who popped it back on the inside to Olam. But gee, I thought, you know, if had he not thrown it that hard, it was ripe for an intercept, that pass. But he just threw it so hard that it just went whizzing past and landed straight on the chest of Adokar. And you saw the one where they kicked. Well, it looked like Smith was going for a 40-20. And yes. Adokar just came.
And there was like nobody there.
Hurtling down the sideline. And in the end, he had time to stop and pick the ball up and just casually put it over the line.
Wasn't
like he had to dive or anything. He just
be looking forward to see whichever Sydney team picks him up next year.
Yeah, that's right. He wants to move back to Sydney, of course. The Dogs led 20-12 at halftime. It's just the same old story for the Dog supporters.
Isn't it a repeat, isn't it?
Yeah, Jack Whiten, very, very good in that second half. Took the game by the scruff of the neck and basically won it single-handedly for the Raiders. Few head-scratching moments for Ricky Stewart, but did they take them a bit lightly? I think probably that's a yes. I think you'll find a different Raiders team next year when they're playing someone that's not sitting on the bottom of the table. The Dogs again blew a lead, again blew a chance to get in front of Brisbane, and again picked up points on Brisbane on the for and against by not getting beat as far as what Brisbane did, but they just can't get that win to get them in front of Brisbane.
If you look at the games over the weekend, the Dogs don't deserve to be like below Brisbane, to be honest.
No, they
and
don't.
I'm not really a fan of either team, but they definitely put in a better performance, and they have for the last few rounds. So it's such a shame that their upcoming kind of run, they might not get off the bottom, even though.
Yeah, that's right. Look, they do try hard. That's the thing. They put in as a dog. Any Dog supporter will tell you that they're hard to knock because they just don't have the cattle that other teams have, but and they do try hard every week, but they just, you know, there was a bomb there where the fullback just dropped it straight cold. No one coming near him or anything. We watched Roger Tuivasa-Sheck catch about 20 of those on the weekend and no issues at all. The Dogs fullback just dropped it straight back to the Canberra bloke who just strolled over. There's a try like that or an intercept or something every week in the Dogs. They're just not quite a first grade team. I think they need probably, you know, they're saying they need a few players. I think they need probably half a dozen.
They don't look fit enough. The second half is where they fail every time. So they need to do something about that.
I don't think that's so much fitness as between the ears. I think once the other team gets a try and gets to in front of them, they go, oh God, here we go again. All the heads drop and then they lose another one goes in and another one. And it doesn't seem to be a fitness thing to me. It just seems to be an attitude. I think they've lost the ability to win. They've forgotten how to win. That's the word for it.
Mm.
They just
choking
every
time.
Yeah, they're just like once there's an attitude there, you know, as they say, winning becomes a habit, losing becomes a habit as well. But interesting times. Now that leaves the Penrith Panthers way out on top. Of course, there's the Storm keeping them honest in second spot, and then you've got a big clump of teams. The Roosters were very impressive on the weekend with a few troops back again. Ageless Morris brothers going well again. They're just incredible, those two, aren't they?
Coming up this round as well, we've got the very anticipated return of SBW, Sonny Bill Williams, coming into the team.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, and he's going to have to push someone out of that team. So who have they got next week? Let me have a look. 7th, 8th round. Oh, they're playing the Raiders down there in Raider Town. So maybe the Raiders had one eye on next week when they were playing the Dogs and
I think
almost stumbled there by not thinking about the current game.
The Sharks and Knights might be a defining game for the latter, but I think that the Roosters-Raiders is going to be the one to watch next weekend.
Warriors-Eels too is an interesting game next week. The Warriors are on fire and the Eels, well, they're kind of spluttering and misfiring at the moment, so that's going to be an interesting game. It's a great round of football next week. Not only that, we've got the Rabbitohs and the Storm next week. The very informed
right,
Rabbitohs.
Clear your calendars.
Yeah, I think it's a good weekend of footy next weekend, right? Strap yourself in, get a few beers and do it. Now, what time is it? It's 25 past. Let's have a quick look at what's happening in the news. Congratulations on your star turn at the footy on the weekend as well. If you happen to have been out there, Tony was there providing expert commentary for Kevin, who God knows he needed it.
Oh.
I'm joking.
You're only saying that because you know he's not listening.
Exactly right. Correct.
No, it
correct.
Was an excellent day. Fantastic weather. It was put on so well by the whole team. I mean, I did a lot of research in the morning thinking, you know, I've got to be up on all the latest. And then I got in there and this fabulous team from the NRL had all this like TV screen with like stats and things.
Oh,
and I thought,
really?
This is how the Fox people
so
sound
they're
so
all
good.
Fraudulent. All those Fox people are frauds.
No, I mean, you kind of got to know what you're talking about
yeah,
to understand
absolutely.
It. But
yeah.
it was really nice. Like at halftime, we were having a talk and
I
it had
noticed
meters
you giving
gained
all the stats.
And
I
all
thought,
that.
Wow, Tony, you've been.
I was taking my own
stats. Had the calculator
stats.
And the slide rule there with you or something.
I was taking some of my own stats, like the six again calls, because that was actually a really defining thing, I think, in the game. The Warriors had more six again calls, and they're all in the Knights' half. The Knights had less six again calls and all in their own half, so it's not really giving any advantage.
They also dropped the ball.
I'm not saying
they
that.
Were dropping the ball on the halfway line like three or four times.
It was like some kind of magic trick.
Myself and Jeff, the voice done, were sitting there going, what's with this halfway line? Every time they get near it, they knock on.
Greasy
so,
halfway as
yeah,
soon as they
must
get
be.
There drop
must
it.
Be. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was a great day and all of the organisers were super impressed with everyone that was there. Social distancing was abided to and everyone was just well behaved,
yeah,
which
terrific,
is super
wasn't
pleasing.
A great event put on by Wests there from Rod Lang and the crew there, Chris Watson and all the people involved there. Just did a fantastic job and the crowd was just really well behaved, really well social distanced. And
I even saw
Tamworth is an example to the rest of the country, I reckon,
definitely.
In terms of that. Yeah.
I even saw some people like throughout the game and halftime walking around with bins to collect rubbish, and I just thought, oh, that's so excellent to like, you know, get it going like partway through so there's not stuff around everywhere as well.
Yeah, well, we were given a bag, so we filled our bag, a rubbish bag on the way out and put it in the bin, and it was just such a well-organised event.
Excellent to see, because the New England Rugby Union will actually be holding their finals there, and then also the Group 4 Rugby League Nines event's going to be there coming up in the next few months. So it was a great way to kind of show the town that it can be handled well and safely.
I had a bit of a flick around the channels last night and watching the A-League Grand Final, and I thought they were packed in up one end there, up the Sydney end, which ironically they call the Cove.
Yes.
And I thought, yes, I reckon a lot of them might walk out with the Cove if there's no social distancing there. They were all packed in right next to each other on the telly. I'm thinking, well,
what are you doing?
That's what you do. I know in soccer they pack up one end and they call it their active supporter section, and they all cheer and sing and carry on.
But yes, and the Sydney Cove
COVID,
is probably one of the most.
Yes, the COVID, I think they call it now.
Dear.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
That's what's going to happen, I'm telling you.
Let's hope not.
Well, let's hope none of them went to the City Tattersalls Club a week and a half ago or whatever that cluster is down in Sydney. But, well done for it. Is there anything else happening in the news quickly? Because we're out of time.
You'll hear some things in the news coming up now, Peter, so we'll just leave it at that, hey?
I love it. Thanks, Tony. Excellent as always.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
People are going nuts for an Ohio woodworker's latest creation, a bar that caters to the neighbourhood squirrels. It serves seven different types of nuts. Michael Dutko, a 35-year-old hobbyist, has been creating art and household items from wood for most of his life. But even this one, he reckons, the Nutty Bar, which is attached to his backyard fence in Hilliard in Ohio, looks just like a real bar, even has a range of nuts on tap. He said he built it to help his neighbour with her bird-watching hobby. He wanted to attract all the squirrels in there. I guess they scare the birds, do they? I don't know why. The whole reason I started to make this was because my neighbour bird watches with her daughter and told me all the squirrels kept getting in her way. I didn't even tell her what I was going to do. I just built it and put it back there, and when she saw it, she just cracked up. As I did, it's fantastic. Feeling squirrely is the name on the bar. It just looks fantastic. It's like a genuine little bar there, except it has nuts. They have to push a little button thing, and the nuts come out in seven different varieties. Nuts and no nuts. That's Dutko's favourite part of the bar is its quirky bathroom sign. Nuts and no nuts. Can you get away with that these days? After posting a video on YouTube showing the build process, so you can actually look this up, Dutko, his name is D-U-T-K-O, said he was overwhelmed with comments and requests to purchase the bar. He immediately applied for a design patent and is now planning to launch a business to sell the Nutty Bar for between $175 to $200. It's surreal to me that I was able to make an impact by doing something so little with something I love so much. I'm so amazed. People have been so kind and positive, and my kids definitely love it too. They're always watching the squirrels stuff their faces with nuts, and they just think it's so cute. There you go. So this guy's probably end up making $1 million out of that, just out of something he loves. Good advice. Best advice I ever got came from a bloke called Grant Goldman. You may have heard of him. He was the 2SM Super Radio Network breakfast announcer all before he passed away tragically last year. Of cancer, and I worked for Goldie a number of years ago, and his best advice to me was, find something you love and try to make money out of it. He said, that's the best career advice I could ever give you, so tell that to your kids.
Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM and 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Miranda Lambert off her Crazy Ex-Girlfriend album. Sounds like a crazy ex-girlfriend too, doesn't it? Going home to get a shotgun. There you go. Ah, look, time for Go to the States now. I guess we've got a little more time to do that today. And here's a beauty for you. I'll tell you what, talk about only in America. Sentenced and jailed on Tuesday on a narcotics conviction, a California man managed to smuggle a, wait for it, a Kyocera cell phone, a mobile phone, an MP3 player, earbud headphones, marijuana, tobacco, and $140 cash into a county lockup by hiding the contraband in his rear end. I'll just read you that. A cell phone, a mobile phone, an MP3 player, earbud headphones. Gee, you want to put them in your ear. Marijuana, tobacco, and $140 cash. It's got to be some kind of a record, doesn't it? As I said to you earlier, the human body's an amazing thing, isn't it? The items were recovered. Oh, God. The items were recovered when Lake County Corrections Officers strip searched Earl Lee Voigt and tossed his cell. That means, you know, they tossed his cell. The searches Wednesday evening were prompted when a jailer detected the smell of marijuana coming from his cell. Voigt was sentenced on Tuesday to nearly 4 years in prison and immediately remanded in custody with the Sheriff's Department. Investigators believe that he keisted. That's a great word, isn't it? He keisted. That's like meddling in the. Oh, he was in the Olympics. He meddled. Yeah, well, I keistered. He keisted the contraband to get it into the lockup, according to one official. While the cash was found in his cell, other items were found inside a sock. When questioned by a sheriff's deputy who thought he was feeling discomfort, Voigt denied being in pain, although he did note, my ass is bleeding. Yes. He claimed he obtained the marijuana from another inmate, great, in exchange for a second MP3 player he had smuggled into the Northern California lockup. So he reckons he had two. In light of the contraband seizure, Voigt was charged with a felony count of smuggling a controlled substance into prison, unauthorized possession of a wireless communication device. It is unclear how Voigt planned to recharge the phone. See, you've got to remember to bring that as well, don't you? That's the key thing. How was he going to charge it?
Wake up and face the day with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM.
2TM. Well, I noticed over the weekend there was a protest, an anti, of course, coronavirus, saying it's a hoax. Over in the UK, they were calling the World Health Organization the World Hoax Organization. 10,000 people in London. 10,000. Anti-mask, anti... I don't know what it takes for some people to... And we've had plenty of cases in the world where people have claimed to be anti-this and anti-that, and then, of course, they die of coronavirus. And they're on their deathbed saying, all right, it wasn't a hoax! But 10,000 coronavirus deniers gathered in London's Trafalgar Square to protest against lockdowns and vaccination programs. The Unite for Freedom rally started at noon... Where do these people, what is the thing? Like, why do they think this is a conspiracy theory? And if they start, they start comparing it to 5G as well, as saying the 5G telecommunications network is, I bet they've all got a phone, and I bet most of them are 5G capable. Pictures of the demonstration showed a sizable crowd gathered in the square, 10,000 they reckon, holding signs warning that coronavirus is a scam and a hoax. It just beggars belief, doesn't it? Meanwhile, over in Germany, in Berlin, there was a 30,000 person protest. One protester unfurled a flag showing the symbol of the British Union of Fascists, while another woman was seen promoting the QAnon conspiracy theory that believes a cable of Satan-worshipping Democrats, Hollywood celebrities and billionaires run the world while engaging in pedophilia. I mean, what, like, where did these people go to school? Maybe there is something in the water. I don't know, that's causing these people to go completely loony. Protesters, none of whom appeared to be wearing face masks, filled the area in Trafalgar Square there. A flyer for the event said the demo would be addressed by top professional doctors and nurses speaking out. And Jeremy Corbyn's brother, Piers, who's a serial idiot himself, was due to make an appearance alongside conspiracy theorist David Icke. Mr. Icke, who was kicked off Facebook for publishing health misinformation that could cause physical harm earlier this year, said it was a joy to look out over an island of sanity in a world of madness. I just don't get it. Do they not know anyone who's had it? Or have they not seen the numbers? More than 40,000 people in the UK have died of the coronavirus, and I don't know what it takes. Does your mum have to die from it before you believe in it, some of these people?